It being the allotted time, I'll declare the meeting open at 6 p.m. Before we get started, as always we do, we'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners of this country on which we meet, the Whadjuk Noongar people, Ngalak Kadich Winjing Ngalak Nining, Ngalak Kadich Nijibudja Bal Whadjuk Noongar Budja Ngalak Nining, always was, always will be. Like to acknowledge the visitors that we have in attendance for this special council meeting this evening. We have Councillor Hamilton from the town of Bassendean as an apology, being deputised by Councillor McWilliam. I understand this is your first meeting at the table. Welcome. And also we have Councillor Georgina Johnson is also an apology and is being deputised by Councillor Pifferetti this evening. Welcome. I don't believe we have any other apologies. Okay. Takes us to agenda item number 3, disclosures of interest. I've not received any disclosures of interest prior to the meeting. Are there any disclosures councillors wish to make at this time? There being none, we move to agenda item 4, announcements by chairman. I have recently just learned the news that our minute taker, Annie Hughes Diatha, will be departing the MRC on the 10th of July, so barring any further unexpected meetings before then, tonight will likely be her last meeting with us. So I'd like to, on behalf of Council, thank Annie for her tireless efforts in making sure that we are organised and prepared and that our minutes are in check. And we wish you all the best with your future endeavours, and thank you again for your service. Agenda item number 5 is response to previous public questions taken on notice. There are none for this meeting. I understand just administratively that we've provided our response to the questions that were submitted at the last council meeting. To Jane Brummer, yes, thank you. Public question time, item 6. I'm not aware of any questions having been submitted by members of the public. No. Agenda item 7 is applications for leave of absence. I've not received any applications at this time. Are there any councillors who would wish to apply for a leave of absence? No. Agenda item 8, petitions, deputations and presentations. There are none. That was 8. Agenda item 9, questions by members of which notice has been given. There are none that have been received to date. Agenda item 10, questions by members without notice. Are there any questions that any councillors have? We have, I think, I saw Councillor Powell's hand first and then Councillor Wolfe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question is, are we still getting written reports from the delegates from the East Zone and the delegates from Wagga?
I can't recall ever seeing any of my time. I'll pass that over to the CEO. Are you able to advise us?
Through the chair, so, I haven't seen any in my time either, but there was a verbal debrief last week from Councillor Georgia Johnson regarding her seat on MWEC. There will be reports back from councillors that obviously represent council on committees. But would you like to see written?
Yes, I would. I would. I'm just hearing a few different things coming back from Wagga and from East Zone. So I just want to make sure I know what's going on there. Thank you.
Are there any councillors amongst us who are representatives on Wagga at all? No? Okay. Do you know if it's custom and practice for Wagga to provide reports to regional councils?
Yes, through the chair. Look, I think they're widely distributed and possibly can be distributed to the MRC, so I can't see any reason why it shouldn't be.
Okay. All right. Councillor Powell, I propose then that we take that on notice and that a formal written response be sent to you and other councillors in due course?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Councillor Wolfe, did you still have a question?
Through the chair, probably for the CEO. We are considering possibly processing up to 100,000 tonnes of FOGO up in Red Hill, and we are possibly considering an anaerobic digester up there. So I'm just wondering, is there an anaerobic digester that currently processes that much FOGO in Australia?
Let's see.
Through the chair, no, there's not. The anaerobic digestion process, dry anaerobic, is widely accepted, but there's no 100,000-tonne facility in Australia. Overseas, there is.
Overseas, there is?
Yeah.
Whereabouts is that?
Well, in Germany, Denmark, I don't know the exact location. But actually, HZI, they've got a very good technology, CompuGas, which was part of the selected tenderers from the expression of interest.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
And just further to your question too, Councillor Wolfe, and for the benefit of other councillors, I've requested that the CEO put together a briefing, not just for councillors, but also for technical staff and other councillors, member councillors of the MRC, to get an update on the various forms of technology that form the basis of the tender process to date. Yep.
But will that be in a sort of a, like a workshop sort of format?
Yeah.
Okay.
So an open workshop, I imagine, making advantage of our new Butte overhead projector and open to any and all technical officers from member councils who are interested, so that we can all get a deeper understanding of the different technologies that are in the short list of tenders and examples of where those technologies are either operational in other places or whether they're experimental or otherwise, just so that everyone gets a deep understanding of what technologies are currently still in the mix. Councillor Powell with another question.
I do. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's my understanding that the SMRC are currently processing FOGO using a MAF system, and apparently they've got plenty of space available to other organisations. Has the CEO approached SMRC to identify what capacity they have that we could maybe use?
CEO.
Through the chair, yes, we have spoken to the SMRC recently in the last 6 to 8 weeks because we needed a contingency plan for if our interim trial FOGO wasn't approved by the department, which now we have to draft receive. So we've spoken to them and they gave us an indicative gate fee. I don't know whether that's commercial in confidence. Maybe I shouldn't. I'm happy to share that number, but maybe not now. Yeah, so we've spoken to them, and they're actually changing over their technology from a digester, it's not a MAF system, but it's an aerated system, and basically every composting system is the same. And if you starve it of oxygen, then it becomes anaerobic and you make gas. They're replacing currently the roof of their shed, and they're looking at changing their model. But we are in constant discussions with the SMRC because we're going to need three of these facilities in the Perth metro area. Through the FOGO, if it is rolled out to all the million households in Perth and Peel, there's going to be 300,000 tonnes of FOGO material collected. So if SMRC does 100,000 tonnes, EMRC potentially could have a facility and one up north that would cater for everyone. But SMRC is not big enough for the whole metropolitan region.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Powell. Any further questions? There are none. Agenda item 11, announcements of confidential matters for which the meeting may be closed to the public. There is none. Agenda item 12, business not dealt with from a previous meeting, nil. Agenda item 13, so 13.1, we've got the Eastern Metropolitan Regional Council draft annual budget. So in accordance with clause 4.18, as I understand it, of the EMRC standing orders, Councillor Congerton gave notice of his intention to move the Audit Committee recommendations at this meeting. So, Councillor Congerton, you have the call.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Do we need to read this out?
As I understand it, your motion has already been circulated. I'll just... you're not required to read it out, but we do need a seconder for your motion. That has been seconded by Councillor Zanino. So...
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to propose an amendment to that motion.
Okay, and I'll just draw councillors' attention to a printout that I understand has been circulated in case councillors missed Councillor O'Connor's email of today. I'll just allow councillors an opportunity to read through that. Sorry, are there any councillors who would like a printed off copy?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I haven't got a copy of the audit one in front of me, the audit committee motion.
Okay, just for councillor...
Is that it? Yeah, it's okay, I've got a copy.
Okay, yeah. So it is the same motion that came from the audit committee recommendation. So we have Councillor Congerton having moved and Councillor Zanino having seconded. There is an amendment being proposed by Councillor O'Connor. So I'll ask Councillor Congerton, as the mover of the motion, whether he accepts the amendment from Councillor O'Connor.
No, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
Sorry, was it? No.
Okay. So that being the case procedurally then, Councillor O'Connor, if there is a seconder...
Sorry, Mr. Chair. Sorry, yes. Is it a requirement that the seconder also...
If you say no,
that's fine?
Yeah, that's
okay. Thank you. Thank you for the answer.
Yeah. Okay, so that being the case, Councillor O'Connor, it is open to you to seek to have your amendment debated separately. You would need to have a seconder for your amendment. Okay. Is Councillor O'Connor's amendment seconded? It is seconded by Councillor Boyd. Is there anyone speaking against the amendment? Yes. Thank you. If you press the button on the right, Councillor McWilliam, you have the call. Oh, sorry. I got ahead of myself. Councillor O'Connor, would you like to speak to your amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just before... I kick off. I just want to clarify that Councillor Congerton is moving the audit committee recommendation as printed on the top of the sheet that I circulated, or is it the amended motion that I circulated at the bottom of that sheet, which includes the audit recommendation?
My understanding.
Happy for Jerry wants.
Sorry, yes. It says in the audit committee recommendation and under one, as amended with the changes as resolved by the audit committee. So yep. That's the one that on the top of your two-pager.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Okay.
Sorry, are we're all on the same page, yes? Okay, all right.
Through the chair, just as a point of clarification, because the amendment wasn't accepted, shouldn't we be debating the motion as put up by...
Thank you, Councillor Jeans, for your question. I did seek advice prior to the meeting on what the appropriate procedure would be should this eventuality come to pass, and the advice that I've received is that it is open to the meeting to debate the amendment on its merits, and then if the amendment is one, it would be included in the substantive motion, notwithstanding Councillor Congerton's desire not to include it. If the amendment is lost, then Councillor Congerton's motion as moved would then go to a vote. Is everyone comfortable if we proceed in that way? Okay, I'll take that as being the case. Councillor O'Connor, would you like to speak in favour of your amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Councillors, I've circulated at my earliest convenience this morning my amended motion, or amendment, however you want to view it. The rationale reads as such. Last year, the MRC adopted the budget with the price per tonne for Bayswater and Bassendean councils to process the FOGO waste using the MAF system at Redhill at a rate of $88.50 per tonne. This rate doesn't include the secondary waste reserve levy that builds the secondary waste reserve. The reserve from which the purchase of the MAF system has or was made, among other expenditure. It is an inequitable gate fee structure when four member councils continue to pay into the secondary waste reserve and two others do not. The reserve scope does not make distinctions between waste streams or councils that will and won't attract the levy. It is noted that each tonne of waste that Bayswater and Bassendean send to FOGO instead of landfill reduces their secondary waste contributions by $38. This is not an equitable outcome for all member councils. The decision for Bayswater and Bassendean councils to implement a FOGO service for their ratepayers earlier than the remaining councils should not diminish their shared responsibility of proportionate contributions to the secondary waste reserve. The ratepayers of the four non-FOGO member councils will continue to pay into the reserve and their rates are increased accordingly. Council has resolved to maintain the secondary waste levy until such time as the costs associated with the long-term FOGO solution are known with some certainty. Council should support the change to the FOGO gate fee for Bayswater and Bassendean utilising the MAF system to apply the secondary waste levy to effectively increase the gate fee to $126.50 per tonne for 2020-2021. This would ensure that the shared financial and environmental responsibility to investigate and proceed with a long-term FOGO solution that will benefit all communities within the EMRC boundaries is proportionally borne by each council in a fair and equitable manner. And just finally, my apologies for the late inclusion or notification of this amendment. It's an oversight that I wasn't aware of, and which is why I was happy to debate this amendment as a standalone amendment. So I ask that you support the amendment for which will lead towards a level playing field for all member councils. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor O'Connor, for your contribution. Just a question, if I may, to staff on a point of clarification. At point three there on the rationale provided by Councillor O'Connor, it says that the reserve scope does not make distinctions between waste streams or councils. Can you please confirm whether the City of Bayswater currently pays the secondary waste levy on the green waste, which is has been for some time provided to Redhill?
No, they do not.
Okay. Thank you. Councillor Boyd, would you like to... Oh, sorry, we have a question from Councillor James.
Just through the chair, question. Just a question, and based on the information that you provided. Does, with the waste-to-energy contract that is in place, is there a secondary waste charge being applied to that?
Through the chair, no, that hasn't been taken into account. There's no secondary waste charge.
All right. Sorry, Chair, did you have anything else you wish to add? No? Okay. So just to be clear, currently the secondary waste levy is not currently paid on the green waste processed from the City of Bayswater, nor is it proposed to be applied to the waste going to the Rockingham incinerator proposal. Councillor Boyd, did you wish to speak to second the amendment?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be very brief. I think this inclusion, albeit late, although that is acknowledged by the proposer, does look at ensuring that East Metropolitan Regional Council as a region provides a level playing field as best, and if the chair wants to make an amendment to ensure that Bayswater does have a gate key, then that might be something we all want to consider, a gate fee, sorry. But I think it's looking at providing a level playing field for all member councils, and I think we should all be supporting that.
Thank you, Councillor Boyd. Do we have any speakers against? Councillor Pifferetti, you
have a question.
A question, yes.
Could I just ask through the chair, can you just confirm my understanding that the secondary waste reserve only relates to waste being sent to landfill?
Chief Financial Officer?
Through the chair, that is correct. In fact, what the CEO has mentioned about green waste, that's consistent across the board, including Kalamander as well.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief Financial Officer, for your answer there. Councillor Clark, did you have a question?
I had a question, yes. So perhaps it's a simplistic question, but this change is not then reflected in these numbers, is it? Where the budget that we would pass doesn't incorporate this?
The amendment which Councillor O'Connor has moved is not currently reflected in the budget papers as passed by the Audit Committee, that's correct.
Right, and that given the time frame, there's no opportunity to see amended numbers on with this built into it, is there?
Not if we were to deal with the budget this evening, no. Any further questions? Okay, are there any speakers against the amendment that is being proposed by, moved by Councillor O'Connor and seconded by Councillor Boyd? Councillor McWilliam, you have the call.
Thank you, Chairman. $88.50 per tonne is the fee applicable to FOGO tonnes that was passed by MSA Council at the last budget 2019-2020 and has provided the basis for all subsequent planning with implementation imminent. The very late proposal that we are looking at this evening from Councillor O'Connor should not be supported as it is contrary to principles of long-term collaborative planning. It should be noted that without the licensing delays in the past year, that it is more than likely that both the Town of Bassendean and the City of Bayswater would have commenced FOGO operations by now. All planning to date has been based on that agreed fee structure. One must therefore question the ethics of a proposed 40% increase in the agreed gate fee on such short notice. Green waste processing by EMRC has never been subject to payment of the secondary waste fee of $38. Is this debate about what products should now attract the secondary reserve gate fee? If so, should this debate not have been brought forward by Councillor O'Connor well in advance of the budget agenda? One must question the timing of this proposal and whether such disruption is welcome into this chamber of member councils that work hard towards a collaborative waste solutions. It should be noted that the Town of Bassendean was identified as a guinea pig, for want of a better word, for trialling the FOGO rollout, where processes and issues would be ironed out to the benefit of other member councils later down the track when it's their turn to roll out FOGO. Will other members around this table vote to pay the secondary waste fee on FOGO tonnage once they implement FOGO? Or will they vote to dispense of that fee once they themselves roll out FOGO? And that raises a question of equity as well. The FOGO-related financial distribution to all member councils is imminent and does not discriminate on differing rollout timetables, i.e. the said monetary distribution will happen now even for those member councils not implementing FOGO until 2025, so we all get the same hike. As a matter of good faith in respect to this very late proposed amendment to the FOGO fee structure, should said FOGO financial distribution be suspended to all member council not implementing FOGO pending consideration of that payment being tied to actual rollout timelines?
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor McWilliam. We've had a speaker against the amendment. Are there any speakers for? Councillor Wolfe, you have the call.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll speak in favour of the amendment. We're talking about the trial MAF facility, which was intended to be a small-scale, low-cost trial for dealing with FOGO, where we would test the collection of FOGO and the compost produced, among other things. So it has become apparent that due to odour issues with this technology, that no more than a small-scale trial could have taken place at Red Hill anyway, although it was intended to be a fairly small-scale trial. In addition, the CEO has stated in one of his emails to one of my questions that the MAF, as it will be set up at Red Hill, could not handle more than 20,000 tonnes. So it's clear that not all member councils could have participated in this trial, whether they wanted to or not. It's estimated from the budget that about 13,000 tonnes per year of FOGO is expected to be produced by Bayswater and Bassendean. Given the secondary waste reserve fee is $38 a tonne, that's roughly $500,000 each year, possibly for 2 years, advantage that they will have over the other four member councils. So that's $500,000 per year they'll have advantage. Until a permanent facility is built, which is available to all members to access, then all member councils should continue to pay the $38 per tonne to keep things fair and to keep a level playing field. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Wolfe. Just a question, if I may, to the Chief Financial Officer, just on clarification. Do the budget papers specify that the secondary waste levy would not be payable by Bassendean and Bayswater, or do the budget papers say that the secondary waste levy would not be payable to any member councils who chose to have FOGO waste processed at the interim facility?
True to Chair, in response, the schedule of fees and charges is applicable for all member councils. With regards to the tonnages, obviously we clearly identify the tonnages relating to FOGO material from Bayswater and Bassendean separately.
Thank you for that clarification, Chief Financial Officer. We've had a speaker for the amendment. Are there any further speakers against the amendment? Councillor Jeans, I saw your light flash.
Sorry. Yep.
Yes, you have the call.
Through the chair. Look, I'll have to. I can't support this motion, mainly on the basis that it is just too late. I mean, you can't change. All six member councils are well and truly down the path of either approving their final budget or have actually almost, will be approving in the next couple of weeks. To throw this in at the very last, not the 11th hour, but, the last absolute minute to change something that has been in place for at 12 months, I think is possibly not a wise thing to do, because it does set a dangerous precedent. So as a council, as 12 members of representing the six member councils, I think we need to look at this purely as an exercise in changing a budget at the very last minute that has a pretty big impact on both those councils. I'm happy for this to be reviewed at a later stage, but not at this very last minute. So I cannot support this for that very reason, that for purely budgetary reasons to make this sort of change would be extremely difficult for those two councils. And on a final note, I think that with the waste to energy plant not actually having this secondary waste applied to it, and the fact that there would be a considerable amount of infrastructure being built if there is a transfer station at Hazelmere, does that put those two member councils at a disadvantage financially as well? So, look, I think we have to, as a council, we have to have a balanced view on these things. We have to, in this case, the trial was well supported by not only the WAC, but the member councils, and they're actually taking a fair risk, to Bassendean and Bayswater taking that risk, and the other four member councils will be taking advantage of that the process that is developed. So, I think the fact that there's no $38 a tonne, as far as I'm concerned, that was only ever for tonnage going into landfill to look at long-term infrastructure for landfill. My understanding is that this process will actually be cost neutral after the trial period, so that the money spent would actually be recovered. So, yes, I can't support this.
Thank you, Councillor James. Are there any other councillors who wish to speak in support of Councillor O'Connor's amendment? No. Any other speakers against? Councillor Pifferetti, you have the call.
Thank you. I'd like to thank Councillor McWilliam and Councillor Jeans for their comments. Some of my comments may echo their theirs, but I still think that I need to really, put a focus on some of the rationale that is clearly incorrect. I'm going to address point three of the rationale provided for the amendment. Our city and Bazandine, so Bayswater and Bazandine, will still be paying the levy on residual waste from the red lidded bins. As I confirmed with the officers before, my understanding that the levy for the secondary waste reserve relates to waste being sent to landfill is correct. So I don't feel there's any basis at all that you can charge that levy to other sources of waste not going to landfill. FOGO is not being sent to landfill. Furthermore, it just seems illogical that secondary waste charge would be applied to a waste treatment process that is a secondary treatment. In response to point four of the rationale, as I said before, both Bayswater and Bazandine will still be paying the levy on waste that is sent to landfill. And in terms of equity, as Councillor James mentioned before, you know, what equity arrangements are in place in relation to the construction of a transfer station at Hazelmere, which is to be funded from the secondary waste reserve that Bayswater and Bazandine has contributed to and is a facility that neither of the two cities will be utilising for the transfer of waste to the Rockingham site. In response to point eight of the rationale, Bayswater and Bazandine are embracing our environmental responsibility by adopting FOGO early to the benefit of our communities and beyond. Furthermore, given that the current fee was set a year ago, I also question why this has not been raised via the appropriate channels of either the COAC or WAC prior to this point. I would also suggest that it's inappropriate for to support this proposal without thorough investigation of all the issues via the appropriate processes, such as a formal report and relevant committee consideration. And I know that this argument has been argued by councillors around this table on other issues as well, that shouldn't be making decisions without that real considered, reports and consideration. And finally, just touching on again what Councillor Jean said about our budgets, our city is adopting our budget next Tuesday via a special council meeting, and a change of this nature so late into this process will significantly delay us adopting our budget, because the statutory budget fees and charges associated with waste will need to be reworked to enable our city to meet our 0% rate increase currently proposed. And it's just, I'm really disappointed to be getting this type of amendment at this stage. So I really hope that people will not support the amendment.
Thank you, Councillor Pifferetti. Any other speakers for the amendment? Councillor Wolfe with a question.
Can I ask if the other four councils that are not sending their FOGO up to the trial facility, if they wanted to send their FOGO to the trial facility by the end of the year to take advantage of the low price, could they do that?
Technical question. I will Yes, Mr. Fitzpatrick.
Through the chair, it couldn't go to the interim facility at Redhill because that's going to be licensed next week, we hope, for about 10,000 tonnes per annum of FOGO, which will be the sufficient capacity to deal with the town of Bassendean and the city of Bayswater. But there are other opportunities. I mean, it could go to the SMRC, for example, as an interim arrangement.
And I ask what the gate fee is at the SMRC?
As has previously been indicated, that has been the subject of some commercial in confidence discussion, which I believe staff are happy to provide on a confidential basis, but not on the public record.
Yeah. It's much more than $88.50.
Right. And as Councillor Wolfwell knows too, the opportunity was open to any and all member councils to participate in an early rollout of FOGO if they so chose. As it happens, the only two member councils who have done so at this stage are Bassendean and Bayswater. That is the facility that was designed to be provided because these things have quite long lead times, as we're all aware. Do we have any further speakers for the amendment? Any further speakers against the amendment? Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Chair. I wanted to explain why I can't support this amendment. First of all, at short notice, we had some discussions in the Audit Committee meeting about improving budget preparation processes within MRC, having more workshops, incorporating a bit more discussion earlier on into those. And this being my first MRC budget, I was, supported a number of things that Councillor Boyd was wanting in terms of more time and more briefings. And I did that on the basis that we would then use those processes, that people would turn up to those briefings and that they would ask their questions and that we would then have things run through the proper processes. So as far as I'm aware, this didn't go to the CEO committee. It didn't come up in the audit committee. It didn't come up last week, as far as I'm aware, but I obviously wasn't here. So I find it difficult to support it on that sort of basis, on a process basis. The second reason I can't support this is in terms of the environmental economics. We're broadly, and the state government is moving towards everyone doing FOGO. There's a really simple reason for that. It's going to save us money and it helps the environment, right? It's really basic. And so at the end of the day, everyone's going to have to get on board at some point, whether you want to be an early adopter or not, so be it. And I think... that's obviously up to each individual council. But then to sort of say that because some people are trialling things and others are not, there's an inequity there, I just don't think that flies. There's been many examples, when I came on MRC and read different things of some councils doing this and some doing that, and I think there's always been a flexibility in how different councils do things. We don't all do things the same. And that's okay. So then to upset the apple cart at the last minute, I don't think flies. The final reason I can't support this, and I think everyone actually needs to think really long and hard about this, is I can't see what this amendment does to these numbers. So is everyone really telling me that tonight we're going to try and pass a budget and we have no idea what the impact on the bottom line is on these numbers? Now, maybe it's someone can work it out with a calculator right now, but I can't see it. I haven't had time to look at it. How can anyone in good faith around this table actually say that they're confident that they know what's in our budget and what impact, financial impact, this is actually going to have on the organisation? I think we've got obligations as councillors and obligations to the MRC around this table, not as, necessarily representing our individual councils, to make sure that we manage the finances properly. I don't see how you can do that when you haven't seen the impact on it. And, I mean, we can sit and have a meeting every night until the end of August, but at some point we do need a budget, we do need supply. So I think tonight's the night to reach a compromise on that.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. Do we have any other speakers for the amendment? Any other speakers against the amendment? Councillor Dorr, you have the call.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's only a couple of months ago that I actually moved a motion at a special council meeting to get rid of the secondary waste levy altogether for at least this financial year. So because I think that's a way of really giving benefit to ratepayers across the region. Unfortunately, that motion was unsuccessful at that time. But that would have really given money back into the pockets of the ordinary people, not to the councils, but to the people, because everyone's waste component of the rates notice would have been reduced by $34 on average or something like that. So I just think this is probably something that is very late in the day to play around with the secondary waste levy in this way and at this time. I think it lacks an element of due diligence to it, and it seems to hit one of the two of the councils very hard. So I can't support it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Dorr. I will also now exercise my right to speak against the amendment moved by Councillor O'Connor and seconded by Councillor Boyd. I agree with Councillor Pifferetti that there are several problems with the rationale that's been presented to us by Councillor O'Connor. I would not use the word misrepresentations. I think there are just some misalignments between the reality of the budget papers and the way that Councillor O'Connor has presented them to us. We do not have currently a secondary waste levy applied to waste that is diverted from landfill. It is long-standing practice that the green waste that is processed by the MRC, by the City of Bayswater and by Kalamunda, as I understand it, we have not, to date, applied the secondary waste levy to that waste. I do not support the application of the secondary waste levy to any waste that has been diverted from landfill, and that also applies to waste that would be going to the incinerator project in Rockingham. I do not believe that it is appropriate for us to put a levy that is to invest in processes that are not landfill on processes that are not landfill. That is my personal view, and that is the consistent view that I will continue to hold for the entire time that I'm elected to this council. I also support the comments that have been made by Councillor Clark and others to say that to bring on such a substantial change, literally the day of a budget deliberation, does no service to our member councils. It provides no opportunity for our member councils to provide feedback. It provides no opportunity to our member councils to adjust their budgets, especially those member councils who have already passed resolutions saying that they will pass on no increase to their fees and charges. The effect of that would be that there would be budget shortfalls for those member councils that have already passed such resolutions, and that they would be required to cut services to their community in order to make up for the difference. I could only do a guesstimate on the back of the envelope when I was trying to nut it out, Councillor Pifferetti, and please do not hold me to this, and Jer, if I'm wildly wrong, let me know, but I would imagine the budget impact would be in the vicinity of about $400,000 for Bassendean and $100,000 for the City of Bayswater. Should this council decide that we were, at the last minute, going to provide a variation to a fee that has been used for calculating member council budgets, we will have an impact in the vicinity of $500,000 on those member councils. I believe it would be unconscionable for the MRC to behave in such a way in our dealings with our member councils. I would not support such an impost on the ratepayers of Kalamunda. I would not support such an impost on any other member councils, and I certainly do not support such a late, last-minute impost on the ratepayers of Bayswater and Bassendean. For those reasons and more, I cannot support the amendment put forward by Councillor O'Connor, and I implore councillors to reject this amendment. Councillor O'Connor, you have the call if you would like to exercise your right of reply.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just going through the list, the gate fee structure for the waste-to-energy project has not been determined or finalised, and to say that it has been is misleading. The motivation has been called into question, and I recognise that. I knew that would be an issue, which is why I negotiated to have this amendment debated, because I didn't want to have it appear that I was trying to force something through in an underhanded way. The this oversight of my own was brought to my attention yesterday morning, and so I did investigations. I spoke to my own technical officers. I spoke to technical officers of this EMRC and concluded that taking all of the process issues into account, it was still a worthy amendment to make based on equity. Significant investment has been made into the MAF trial. Being the beneficiary of a trial MAF system does not remove your responsibility to continue to contribute to the final FOGO solution. That's the ultimate goal for this council. The interim was a solution agreed to by council to satisfy the desires of Bayswater and Bassendean, and it was agreed to, and the funds were provided from that waste reserve. But to think, to say, or to suggest that you're done with contributing to the final solution, I disagree with that wholeheartedly. The difficulty in calculating the figures, it's really not that hard. You find out what your tonnages are on a yearly basis, and you apply the $38 charge. It's doesn't need a big adjustment to the EMRC's budgets, because once the charge is collected, it goes straight into the reserve. So it's a very, very simple, straightforward calculation. I think that's pretty much about it. Again, I recognise that it's a late amendment, and that's why I asked Councillor Congerton and the Chairman to allow this to go into a debate, so as not to appear to be forcing the hand of anyone. So I ask you to support this based on fairness, and if it's lost, I will flag that I'll be bringing this back probably in another format in the near future.
Thank you, Councillor O'Connor. That brings debate on the proposed amendment to a close. Just on a point of clarification, for an amendment of this nature, is a simple majority or an absolute majority required?
True to Chair, since the item is an absolute majority for endorsement of the budget, I would suggest it's an absolute majority.
Okay. Thank you, Chair, for the clarification. I will now put the amendment to Councillor Congerton's motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand. We have, for the minute taker, Councillor Wolfe, Councillor Powell, Councillor Boyd, Councillor O'Connor, Councillor Congerton, Councillor Zanino, those against. We have Councillor Wilson, Councillor McWilliam, Councillor Clark, Councillor Pifferetti, Councillor Dorr, and Councillor Jeans. The amendment is lost, there being an absence of an absolute majority. Councillor Congerton, do you have a motion that is being moved by Councillor Congerton and seconded by Councillor Zanino?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The motion, as read, I would like to have it put to the vote.
Okay. We have a motion that we put that to the Councillor Jennings. Do you have a question?
Through the Chair, if this motion is lost, or not a majority,
yes,
I would like to foreshadow an alternative.
Okay.
It's going to the vote.
Councillor Jeans, do you have the wording for your alternative motion available? Would you like to explain the intention of the alternative?
Yes. Through the Chair, the alternative motion is to, instead of removing totally the arts acquisition, that the original amount of $20,000 be put in back into the budget.
Okay, so we will deal with wording if we get to that, but I think the the motion that you're foreshadowing is understood. Councillor Congleton has moved that we proceed now to a vote. I will second that. All those in favour, this is for procedurally that we now go to a vote. That is carried. Sorry, is there anyone against? Just for the minute taker. Okay. So again, those in favour procedurally now that we go to the vote on the substantive motion moved by Councillor Congleton and seconded by Councillor Zanino. Those in favour, please raise your hand. Councillor Wilson, Councillor McWilliam, Councillor Pifferetti, Councillor Wolfe, Councillor Powell, Councillor Boyd, Councillor O'Connor, Councillor Dorr, Councillor Jeans, Councillor Congleton and Councillor Zanino. Those against, Councillor Clark, the motion is carried. We are now then going to the vote on the substantive motion moved Councillor Congleton, seconded Councillor Zanino, for which an absolute majority is required. All those in favour? Councillors in favour are Councillor Wilson, Councillor McWilliam, Councillor Pifferetti, Councillor Wolfe, Councillor Powell, Councillor Boyd, Councillor O'Connor, Councillor Congleton and Councillor Zanino. Those against, Councillor Clark, Councillor Dorr and Councillor Jeans. That is carried by an absolute majority. Congratulations, Council, we now have a budget. That now brings us to agenda item 14. Members' motions for which previous notice has been given. Well, we can't because this is a special council meeting. Agenda item 15, new business. No new business is to be transacted at a special council meeting. Agenda item 16, confidential matters for which the meeting may be closed. There is none. Future meetings of council. Please take note of the future meetings as listed in the agenda in your diaries. Agenda item 18, declaration of the closure of meeting. There being no further business, I declare the meeting closed at 6:54 p.m. Thank you very much, councillors.